Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues is the name of this program. AFR.net is our website for AFR, for American Family Radio. Tim Wildman here with Ed Battagliano, and we're here Monday through Friday from 10:05 Central Time to 11:30 Central Time here on American Family Radio. And Steve Jordahl joins us most days during this half hour to bring us the latest news and information. Good morning, Steve.
Yeah, no one seemed to fit to invite me for Friday trivia, so I'm just here Monday through Thursday.
Well, you're not a trivia person,
no,
Steve.
I'm not trivial.
You're not trivial.
I'm substantive.
You're a serious journalist.
Yes, I'm glad to be here when I'm invited.
Thank you. Hey, by the way, they're in Washington, D.C. They are selecting leaders, both parties are. Am I right?
Well, I know the Republicans are. I assume the Democrats are about the same thing, although I think if the Democrats were doing it today, we'd have heard a lot more about
okay.
the Pelosi drama. So, and I haven't been, they're clapping. It looks like Mitch McConnell was just acclaimed Senate Majority
well,
Leader
was,
again,
was,
or Minority
that,
Leader.
But, you know, that was close.
Yeah. The big issue is going to be who's going to be in the House. Now, Jim Jordan is one of the candidates. AFA is actually I don't know if AFA
we want
proper,
Jim, we
but,
want Jim Jordan to win House Minority Leader,
right?
That's today, and that's an off the record vote by its members. So the House members who are Republican will vote for their leadership, but it's who knows what will happen, but it's. People are guessing that it's Kevin McCarthy from California that will be elected because he was number two behind Paul Ryan. Steve Scalise from Louisiana was number three behind Paul Ryan. And usually the way things work in the world is what? Next in line
right.
takes the role. And so if Jim Jordan were to beat Kevin McCarthy, it would be an upset.
But unless Rod Rosenstein.
But we'll see what happens.
It's not next in line.
I'm sorry I missed that one.
Unless you're Rod Rosenstein at the Justice Department, then it's not line.
Oh, gotcha. I understand now. Gotcha, Steve.
So let me ask you a question, Tim.
Uh-huh.
What is your priority for a speaker? What would you like to see the speaker be about? Why is it that you personally would prefer Jordan over any of these others?
Well, because we've tried... Because the Republicans have had John Boehner and before then, we've had, I guess you would say, establishment Republicans or more moderate Republicans leading a House, which most of its members are made up of conservatives. Now, I would say this, that's contradictory if you look at it this way, admittedly contradictory. Those conservative House members are the ones who elect their own leaders.
Yeah.
So someone would say, well, Tim, you say the House members are mostly conservative, and yet they elect moderates to be their leaders. So I don't have a good answer for that, except that it's always, you know, people get in line for leadership positions, and you have to position yourself and work and fight for that role because there's a lot of people who want to be leaders in the parties. And so
I think you just answered your own question.
How did I do that?
Because it's as in we're hearing from Pelosi on the Democrat side, there's so much politics, there's so many favors you have to call in, and over the years the leaders have accumulated those favors and they call
sure.
them in at this time. So it's not that the conservative members don't necessarily want a more aggressive or more conservative minority leader or speaker, but the favors are called in, and it's the politics that wins out over the
yeah.
The
and
principle.
That's as I say, that's just the way the world works. It
yeah.
works that way in almost every organization. Let me just hasten to say one other thing, and then Ed, you can chime in here. But I do think there is an element maybe element's not the right word. There is a thinking that's pervasive, at least on the Republican side, maybe on the Democrat side for different reasons, but on the Republican side, in the House of Representatives, for example, maybe in the Senate, you don't want a leader that's really hard-lined. Or, you know what I'm saying? Don't misunderstand me. This is not my way of thinking. But I'm just saying I understand why these, because you don't want to be put in difficult positions voting-wise. So if you have somebody a lot that's a, quote, hardliner, like some people view Jim Jordan, they might say, well, he's going to force his hardline conservative positions on us, the members. We don't want to be put in that position because it might make us cast votes that we aren't comfortable casting, we'd rather avoid.
Right.
So, do you see that?
Yeah, it'd be kind of like when Ron Paul was in the House of Representatives. He took very purist kinds of views, according to the way he viewed the world, for example, on the Federal Reserve and those kind of things. If he had been, you know, the speaker, he would have put many Republicans into a position that could be taken advantage of by opponents in the next election. Well, you voted for this and you voted for that, or you didn't vote for that. And so therefore, and that puts them in a difficult position. Yeah. I would also add that when it comes to electing a speaker, there's also, I think, a calculation that goes on, kind of a risk-reward thing. Because someone, for example, Nancy Pelosi, to Steve's point, has so many favors to call in and so much influence and so much in terms of the networking she's done over the years. You oppose her, you are risking...
Yes.
The backlash should she get in,
yes,
as speaker. Now you've got either no committee, you know, chairmanships, or you're on a committee that oversees.
You just sit on the end of the bench, or you get out of the dugout, one
right
or the other. You're not gonna have any role.
So members of Congress in both parties make that calculation. What are the chances if I decide to vote for Jim Jordan? What are the chances he wins? And if he doesn't win,
but it's a secret vote, isn't it? But I guess people know who votes for
people,
who, right?
People find out, I think.
Yeah, but you're right. If you're going to stage a coup on the king, you better win.
That's right.
You better win.
To that point, it's interesting you bring that up. You know, the incoming freshmen are in Washington getting sworn in, or
haircuts.
They're going to be. They're getting haircuts.
Finding out how to hide their emails and things.
They're doing
or destroy their emails. Hillary's leading a workshop on how to destroy your emails. It's a breakout session.
It is.
But, and breakouts, what to do with your server.
What to do with your server. That's
how
another.
To destroy it.
That's another.
Breakout session.
Another breakout session.
It's a great word for it.
It should be a plenary, but it's not.
It's a breakout session for when they lock her up. She's getting a breakout session right there.
How to avoid lock her up.
But so all of the freshmen are in town, and they're getting oriented. Ocasio-Cortez, this Alexandria from New York, is as well. Do you know what she did on her very, very first day at the Capitol?
I do know, but you tell us.
She poked the bear. mm-hmm. She walked with a bunch of protesters into Nancy Pelosi's office and gave this speech. This is cut two.
I just want to let you all know how proud I am of each and every single one of you for putting yourselves and your bodies and everything on the line to make sure that we save our planet, our generation, and our future. It's so incredibly important. I've shared with you all, and I've shared my story that my journey here started at Standing Rock. And it started with everyday people doing exactly what you all were doing too.
You know, one of the things that I admire so much about Leader Pelosi is that she comes from a space of activism and organizing. And so I think that she really appreciates civic engagement.
It remains to be seen if she appreciates it in her office.
Yeah, no, these were climate protesters.
They were. The first,
in Pelosi's office.
The first issue where the echo was, that was in her office, and she was addressing him, saying how much she identified with them protesting her potential speaker. Yeah.
It's almost like—
And then the last one was out in the hall.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. It's almost like she is so inexperienced, she doesn't realize the mistakes she's possibly making.
I said this morning, I expect her now to be assigned a committee as a ranking member of the committee to clean toilets. for as long as she's in the House, she might have just sealed her fate right there.
On the other hand, guys, her ideology and politics notwithstanding, I got to give her some points for bravery. Because you might call it stupidity, Steve. I think that's what you're alluding to.
That was Ed.
I didn't say stupid. I said inexperience.
Inexperience.
Well, it's kind of like if you're a rookie and you're going up for the first time against Nolan Ryan. He's pitching, and you just clowning around. You point your bat to the a home run, and you don't realize
what you're about to face.
Yeah, Nolan's going to get you right in the ear.
But anyway, she maybe unknowingly, unwittingly, or
Ocasio goes where angels fear.
Maybe she's just not that bright. I don't know what the case may be,
she could be courageous. Here's another thing: she hasn't been in Congress long enough to have faced the pressure of compromising your principles in order to get reelected. That may also be in play.
She may have gone to lunch with another Democrat congressman, and she said, "What'd you do this morning?" "Well, I went over to Nancy Pelosi's house and Nancy Pelosi's office and joined the protest." And then the other one goes, drops her fork.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I can't have lunch with you.
You did what? I hope nobody sees me here with you.
Oh man.
Oh my word. All right. So,
well, she's going to be the gift that keeps giving, though.
I think so.
Ocasio-Cortez. Both of them will be.
This young lady who just won out of the like a bolt of lightning, she does not have all her ducks in a row when it comes to the issues, and I think she's going to be, for a while, she's going to be a gaffe machine.
Now, just an aside here, this group that was protesting in Nancy Pelosi's office. It was an environmental group.
Yeah, they were the climate
protesters. They're with the group Sunrise Movement and Justice Democrats.
Okay,
and they were staging a sit-in.
Yeah, they look like a bunch of college kids to me when I saw them.
I'm looking at a picture.
Ocasio-Cortez.
They didn't look like they had a job. They looked like they were had time on their hands.
That's exactly what.
Is that what they look like to you?
Yeah, I think one of those,
Sunshine Who?
Sunrise Movement. Sunrise Movement. And I knew we were going to get a John Denver rendition here. And shoulders. Justice Democrats.
What's their point now? They want Nancy Pelosi to do what now? Do you know?
I don't know. This article doesn't say.
Save us from the sun or?
Yeah.
I guess Nancy Pelosi is probably not radical enough for these groups.
Okay. Ocasio-Cortez in that protest said that she said there's no other alternative other than making us 100% renewable energy within 10 years.
Yeah.
Which is never going to happen.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you run on that next time for president because she's talking running for president.
Well, the good
right?
news, I don't think she's old enough. Don't you have to be 40?
You have to be 35?
She self-identifies.
Well,
she could. She could.
As 42. Self-identifies as 42, so don't give me that, Steve.
Okay. All right.
All right, what's next, Steve?
We talked yesterday about this student, this college student at UC Berkeley. Her name is Isabella Chow. She's part of the Student Senate, and she ran into trouble when they took a vote there on campus to oppose President Trump's redefinition or returning to the original definition of gender in federal law. You might remember a while back he said, from now on, we're not going to deal with this, self-identifying stuff. We're going to go with what you were born, you are. So if you're born a boy, you're a boy, you're male. If you're born a girl, you're female for life for the federal purposes. Berkeley did not like that, as you might well imagine, and one of their student government put a proposal together to oppose that, saying our resolution is that we think that's bad. Well, Ms. Chow is a Christian, and she abstained from that vote. And I want you to hear a little bit about from her. I talked to her yesterday. I'm going to have a story out tomorrow a little bit on this. And I just want you to hear what she had to say about her experience on campus now. This is Cut 3.
I support, you know, freedom from discrimination and freedom from harassment for all people. But where it crosses the line for me is that I'm asked to promote LGBTQ identities and lifestyles, and it conflicts with my values and the values of the Christian community that I represent. And my political party released a statement right after the vote disaffiliating with me that was shared widely. This issue has just gone viral. Like, people are calling me homophobic, transphobic, the F word, and many other slurs that I just don't want to repeat here. Even though I may disagree with how you choose to promote your identity and how you choose to live your life, it doesn't mean that I love you any less. The issue that students here at Berkeley have with my statement is that they fundamentally cannot reconcile how I can say I love you and validate you as an individual and yet disagree with how you choose to identify yourself and how you choose to live your life.
A well-spoken young woman who's
courageous.
A lot. She's a junior. She has a year and a half left on campus, and it is going to be a long year and a half for that woman.
Yeah, and this is at Berkeley.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't get any further left, I don't guess,
no,
than Berkeley in the college and university systems of this country. This is not only a courageous young woman, she obviously understands these issues, but time and time again, we watch Christians especially, this also applies to conservatives, but surely Christians, the minute you do not embrace the LGBTQRST agenda, you are labeled the worst types of labels. You're given fascist, hater, bigot, and she refused to toe the line here on this, and she is up against it. This is a courageous young woman.
The only people that will talk to her on campus now are her Christian friends on campus. She has a strong church in the community. She has family.
What did she do again
south.
That was so egregious?
She refused to vote. She voted. She abstained from
voting.
Vote
on what?
On a bill, on a resolution to oppose President Trump's normalizing of gender in
this is a student.
She's a student senator.
Okay.
So she's part of the student government.
Okay, so the student led the student government here,
right.
at Cal Berkeley wanted to vote to reject President Trump's administration. Just wants to say if you are a boy or a girl by biology,
right?
When you're born, you know, you're either male or female,
and the Title IX.
Yeah.
Does not apply to transgender.
And we've been going by this designation since the beginning of the world.
Right.
Adam and Eve.
Male and female he created.
Yeah, so we've been going by male and female since the beginning of the world, and it's been universally accepted across all religions and all cultures. Okay, we haven't... Now, I don't think anybody else in the world has a problem with this or is confused about this, but we in America now, I guess, in Western Europe too, you know, you're supposed to adopt this idea that a person can biologically be a male, like what's his name, Jenner, Bruce Jenner, but because he calls himself a female, therefore he is.
Right.
Right. That's what we're supposed to believe.
Yes.
And if you don't adopt that, you're a transphobe.
Right.
You know? And of course that's ridiculous. It's one of those things where everybody knows this is nuts, but you have to pretend. That's a lot of PC, right, quite frankly.
Well, and that you can see that acted out when you have some of these groups that'll go on college campuses.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And they will start off asking about the transgender issue, and these students are, oh, yeah, absolutely, a person has a right to determine their own gender. And then you start asking them things like, well, one of the famous ones, do I have the right to self-identify as a man? We'll ask, as a 6'5" Chinese woman. And you see the look on the faces of these students. They realize they're being trapped. Because if you can declare yourself a woman when you're a man, right. Why can't I declare myself Chinese? Right. If I'm Italian, why can't I declare myself 6'5" if I'm 6 foot? And these kids start doing intellectual, mental somersaults.
In their head. They don't know
head.
How to answer
you
that.
You see it on their
That's
face.
That's why they don't answer immediately, because they know, how do I answer that?
They start to grin sheepishly, and they realize they've been had, but they have to play the game to the end. A lot of times these kids will say, well, go ahead. If you want to declare yourself a 6'5" Chinese woman, more power to you.
So this young lady that we're talking about, brave Christian student out there, she decided she just wouldn't vote.
She didn't vote against it. She didn't speak out and say, no, this is wrong, didn't make a big, huge speech.
That would have been braver.
Well, she made the speech after the vote, after she was called out.
But she still, I mean, where she was, and now she's going to be ostracized. But I'm just saying, it's crazy for her to be treated this way. When she's only acknowledging biology. I mean,
she's acknowledging is her faith.
Yes.
Yeah, but she's also acknowledging scientific fact as well as her faith, because her faith doesn't deny male and female. In fact, it defines it.
Right.
What do you got? What else you got, Steve?
Well, let's end with this. We've got I want to give a shout out to this gentleman in southern Mississippi in Harrison County. His name is Keith Cavalier. He's 28 mm-hmm. years old, and he was quite upset. In fact, he was so upset with what was going on in his life that he drove his pickup truck into a courthouse down in southern Mississippi in Gulfport. He told officers that he crashed into the Harrison County Courthouse because it was the best way to let them know that his drug paraphernalia had been stolen.
Okay, now wait a second. This guy was drunk?
Well.
Was he high?
He was angry.
He was angry, and he drove his pickup into the courthouse to complain that his illegal drug paraphernalia had been stolen.
That's right.
Yeah.
I want to file a report.
Yeah, okay. I don't think that was a well thought out plan right there. I think that was probably an emotional decision. That
maybe he was having.
He must have been.
What's the gentleman's name?
Drunk.
His name is Keith Cavalier.
Yeah. So
and it might be that he was like late on his rent and needed a place to stay for a night or two.
Well, so I bet he got it.
That's what I'm thinking.
I bet he got it too.
Yeah.
All right. So. That is what you call a bad idea.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah, I think that's what you call a bad idea.
By the way, are we done with that story, by the way?
Well, that's all I got.
I was going to mention, and now I wasn't on the program every day last week. This individual, because we were just talking about the transgender thing.
Yeah.
This is a guy from Amsterdam, Emil Radelband.
Yeah.
Did you guys cover this? 69-year-old Dutch pensioner.
I was just going to mention it, though.
Feels like he's okay, Steve. All right, so you're going to just go ahead. You mention it.
No.
This is my story, Steve. This is my. Don't try.
And
to
I did not mention it because I wanted
We're
you
running
to.
Running out of time, fellas.
He wants to identify as someone who's 49 rather than 69, and he's using the transgender argument. Yeah. He's saying, if you can pick your biology, your gender, why can't I pick my age?
I wish him much success.
He wants to date 40-year-old women, so he's going to start introducing himself as someone who's 49.
Go for it. I just say go for it. If you're going to be able to do the other, I hope this craziness gets exposed for what it is.
Yes.
And people have to.
It is crazy.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
Everybody, make sure you remember that was my story.
Right.
Ed's story.
All right. Thank you, Brent and Ed. And let's see who else to thank.
Fred.
Yeah, Fred. Appreciate Fred. And thank you for listening to American Family
Radio. Abe Hamilton.
Take care, everybody. See you tomorrow.